This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on the Fan is brought to you by Better You Today. Real weight loss, results, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Blah, 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 blah. Push.
At the club, Club 1080.
Fill up my mouth with farts.
Bro.
You feel better than this. You have a responsibility to your audience. You are responsible.
Nope.
It's been a while since we've had the old montage.
Yeah, the fart grand finale.
Yeah.
That's what that's labeled.
It's the Excalibur, like on 4th of July.
And you're welcome.
Yeah.
Bro.
All right, bros. Look.
You just bro me?
I broed all of you.
Now, I listened to the Cristobal interview, and he did brother them again.
He did?
Yeah. He's a brother. Listen here, brother.
He's like a professional wrestler.
Yes.
Brother.
He does have that look about him. I mean, he marches around. There's definitely a Hogan sort of vibe about that. Very intense. As a lot of football coaches are.
Man, football coaches are a thing.
It is.
That's why
I never, like when I got done, I had a chance, you know, to go back and be a GA if I wanted to get into it. And I can't. Like, to this day, people will still be like, you know, you're interested like at a high school level. And I'm like, first off, the job, no, because I'm off at 7. But just, I don't want that level of intensity in my life. Just
go to Pop Warner, dude.
Just, I don't have a kid.
That's
just
your speed.
Just randomly coaching Pop Warner. Yeah, it's just, it's all right. It's an intensity that I don't like in my life.
Hey, they profiled a stripper from Portland in the New York Times.
Oh,
and
they
I
did.
Wanted to tell you about it.
Last time we had a stripper that was profiled, she was making time with that, was it the congressman?
Making time. Is that what they call it now?
Well, remember they both claimed that it was just like text messages.
Really,
there was no hanky-panky or
Corey
anything.
Corey Booker.
Yes.
Just came through town.
Yeah.
Trying to get our money for his campaign.
Remember, yeah, I think Dern Sprague had the stripper on.
Yeah, what was her name?
I don't remember, but we looked her up. She had a bunch of tats. She just had a kid recently. Congratulations.
Well, this is a different girl. Her name is Nikisha Newton.
Okay.
And she's a stripper here in Portland.
Can I Google Nikisha?
Do whatever you want.
How do I spell Nikisha?
N-I-K-E-I-S-A-H. Nikisha.
Nikisha Newton. Oh, yeah. Pops up right here. When you type in Nikisha, the first thing that up is Newton.
Yeah, she's a big deal because she's starting a movement. She has a business.
All right.
And it's called Meals for 6-Inch Heels.
That's fantastic.
It's kind of off the chain.
It is off the chain. Okay, so she is a stripper.
All right.
And her company is called Meals for 6-Inch Heels. And what she wants to do is support the stripper community that she feels has been shunned and taken advantage of for far too long. So a lot of nights, she gets in her car and she drives to the clubs in Portland and she delivers girls meals. Things like kale salads and stuff. Because, you know, I mean, you got to keep up the look.
So you're saying healthy food.
So, yeah, she and her ex-girlfriend who is a former stripper, started the they started this company, and they have started a movement among strippers and dancers nationwide who are fighting to reform labor practices in strip clubs.
Her girlfriend was a stripper and a rugby player. Interesting combo.
So they want to put an end to sexual harassment and discrimination in the workplace, and they want to stifle the stigma around what they believe is a legitimate profession. Pole dancing.
Well, I think there's talk of it being in the Olympics, except I think they would be wearing clothes, so not necessarily the same thing. But.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, I think this is great. What this says is members of this movement are sharing their experiences with the public through podcasts, books, and visual arts.
Oh, wasn't that
which
what
is what they do?
I would assume so.
Using technology to spread information about their industry and protesting injustices in the streets. They're also finding ways to care for each other with meal delivery services, yoga classes, book clubs, clothing lines with slogans of solidarity, financial planning lessons, and comedy workshops.
So not only are you going to get someone that's the good on the pole, but they can sling some one-liners at you?
At VLive in Los Angeles, guests are encouraged to use their phones to take videos and photos of the dancers. On a recent evening, a photograph circled a photographer circled the dancers taking images, and they could later buy to use on their Instagram accounts.
Huh.
See, they're getting smart.
I see. Well, I mean, I suppose this kind of makes sense, but aren't we all assuming that I got to be careful with this. Got to think about this one.
Here we go.
Okay.
Well, you've seen this. Well, go ahead.
What? I've seen what?
I kind of want to derail you from this opinion that you're about to throw out there. You've seen those Hustler, the movie, the J-Lo thing.
Yes.
So, you know, there's a real movement.
And that's a story. That's based on a true story.
Yeah. She's playing a, yes.
Yeah, they were robbing,
stripper.
Dumb businessmen.
Yeah, and she just decided to
drug and
take matters into her own hands and empower the women, the strippers, not drug.
No, they were drugging guys and stealing their money. Yeah. That happened.
All right, fine, go.
We talked about that story here.
The drug was lust, not pills.
No, I think it was pills. Yeah. Pretty sure they were drugging him. That too. I actually think what she's doing is pretty admirable. That's cool. And she says, you know, obviously there's not a lot of late night food options, all that. But that's also assuming that everyone that is a dancer is looking at this as a real career and like business opportunities. And all I'm saying is a lot of the people that I think that are in that lifestyle aren't necessarily planning for a future and aren't really the... aren't going to take advantage of a lot of those things. I still think it's cool that she's trying to do her best to improve conditions and offer them that. But at the same time, let's not act like everyone that's in those clubs dancing is trying to pay their way to medical school.
Mm. Oh, that's the story I always got.
Yeah. That's
what, you're not, saying that's not true?
It's not quite the case, right?
Well, she is saying, too, that she's saying, look, the strip club industry is changing because it's no longer just all middle-aged white perverts, men, male perverts, you know. It's not that anymore.
Really?
Like, you go into strip clubs now, and I don't know. I haven't been to a strip club in a long time.
I'm pretty sure it's still male perverts.
But, well, I'm sure they're, yeah, look, that's their target audience, okay?
But right? Middle-aged pervs. I would think that's the demographic.
They're also saying, you know, in the last 10 years, a lot more diverse, a lot younger, and more gender broad in strip clubs.
No. Well, I didn't know. I didn't know the strip game is changing.
Well, hey, I think she's
great. I just know that when you go to strip clubs, look, there's an element that goes around there. I'm not saying that all of them, but it's not the best environment in the world. And let's not act that everyone that's in there is, you know.
Well, she's just trying to make it better.
Is on the up and up.
I like that she's trying to make it better because that is one seedy-ass business.
And that's kind
of,
my point.
Well, yeah, but if you are a legitimate, look, that you can make good money doing it.
Yeah.
It's a legitimate profession. There is a market for it. So why not, if you're in it and you're frustrated by how seedy and crappy it is,
sure,
why not try to make it better, which I think that's what Natisha is doing.
Valid point. I'm dead serious because I don't know this. Like, do you get...
Nakisha, sorry.
Well, do you, like, get a W-2? Do you put that, like, do you report, well, like, on taxes and, like, is there, like, 401k?
That's a good question.
I know nothing about this.
I think that they do, but they misreport. right? Like,
yeah, I
like it. Let's say they rake in 100 G's in cash,
yeah,
cold hard. You know, she's reporting,
yes,
20 of that, maybe, if that.
Yeah, I'm gonna, I just know with that industry.
Now, they may have cracked down on that.
There's a lot of shady things that go on.
You know, they may be better about, you know, catching that now, but, no, you know, she'll report her paychecks, obviously, which I don't even know what that is.
Are you an employee? Like, do you get paid a salary or?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know.
I've never done a
shift.
When
I did it, they paid me, yeah.
Never.
Just kidding. I wasn't a stripper. I always told my wife I would be, though. If anybody wanted to see that, like, if there were a market for it, I'd do it.
You'd be on board.
Easy money, baby.
Is it Darcell's? Is that the place, or?
I don't know.
What's the?
Nobody's called me yet.
No, the Thunder from Down Under, the Chippendales. Right. They're not looking for
you. No, they haven't called me.
The Australian Heat isn't looking for the Salina Comet. Yeah, what the hell, man?
Dude, how great of a job would that be?
Someone's saying, the best that someone knows this, that strippers are independent contractors in Oregon State, so no W-2, no benefits.
Not really.
They're only paid in tips.
All right, then they ain't reporting crap.
No.
As far as the government knows, they don't have a job.
Straight cash, homie. Straight cash.
Well, anyway, there are nearly 4,000 strip clubs in the United States.
I would think there'd be more than that.
A lot of them are cheap and raunchy, but then you also do have the glamorous ones and the expensive ones. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, if you've ever been to any of those, like in Vegas and stuff, like those things are well run.
Atlanta.
They do not mess around. And those girls make a lot of money.
I went to one in Atlanta once and holy geez. I've never seen more cash. People just throw in stacks.
Yeah, look at all of our listeners, like really up to speed on how strippers are paid.
it's dialed,
like a salon.
They're
so
dialed in.
So they're renting this space to, you know, they have to pay the venue and a cut of the private room time and all that. Unbelievable.
Who knows? Well, you know what? In all honesty, that's good for this lady for trying to improve the work conditions, because everyone deserves a healthy work environment. All I'm saying is, let's not act like everyone that's choosing to work there is is looking for the best work.
I will say this, you know, every state's different. When I came to Oregon, I was blown away by the strip clubs here, because, you know, I come from the Bible Belt. It's very conservative out there.
I went to school in Utah. Try that on for size, huh?
Yeah, right. Here, you go in there. The first time you go in there, you don't know what to expect. You're like, oh my God. Like, it's a free for all.
What's happening
here?
You're
seeing everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, that was like, I was like, man, Oregon. Sup, Oregon?
I just know you go to strip clubs. Anything you want is there. You from white powder to anything. It's all available. That environment is an interesting playbook.
I have one other thing for you that she is advocating.
Yeah.
Now tell me how you feel about this. Nikisha Newton, stripper from Portland, is rallying strippers. And one of many of her platforms is inflation and lap dance costs. So
she's trying to raise the cost of lap dances?
Yes. Well, she is saying that lap dances,
I'm out.
All these clubs are different. Like everybody's, all these clubs, all these states, everything varies with laws and everything. But the cost of a lap dance, mm-hmm, in most strip clubs is pretty universal, in between $20 to $30. And she is saying that is not... She said it's been that way since like 1990. She's like, uh-uh. She says if you go into a strip club... Or, well, she's a stripper now. She's like, if you ask people now to pay any more than $20 for a lap dance, they'll look at you like you have two heads. But the reality is that's been the same price since 1990.
Hmm.
And it's kind of true.
Wow. You know what, though? I think you're going to... She had a lot of people right up until that point. Everyone's like, hey, we're up. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You want us to pay more? No. Not going to cut it. So you're saying like 50 bucks for a song? That's where we're at?
She was saying at least 40.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's steep. I got to get a second job. I can't afford those rates. I'm a lonely radio man.
It's true, man. $40 for a lap dance?
It better be a hell of a long song. Can I wait until November Rain comes on and get a hold of that one?
And that's the other thing too, is they do slow play you on the songs, you know?
Yeah.
Like they'll, and then they'll bleed it into another song and get another $20 out of you. I'm like, wait, I thought it was $20. Well, you two songs. Wait, what?
It's called upselling, my man. It's called upselling.
Well, they can be, in my experience, they can be a little shady with that. It's not all on, you don't like sign an agreement with her.
And this is my point.
So this is, well, that's what she's saying. That's her point. Her point is, hey, this all needs to be on the up and up.
Just sign some contracts out in the open. This much time, there's like a red clock on the wall. Is that what we're working with?
Take these drafted up contracts with an attorney into the strip club next time you go in. See how that works.
Oh, good times. By the way, none of that's changing, just so anyone knows.
Why?
You don't
think she can spark change?
No, I don't.
In an industry that needs it?
No, I appreciate the effort, but no.
Well, I'm rooting for her.
Me too.
I'd donate to her cause. Wait, I did many, many times.
I was going to say, I think
like many times.
I think you've donated before.
Yeah, I'm a P1.
I gave at the office.
Okay, what's next? Great question. Sports talk on the Fan. All right, we're back already.
By the way, I got a phone call. Both my kids go to the same high school. And, you know, when your kid's absent, they send you they do the voicemail or they call. I never answer. And it's like, your student was absent, blah, blah, blah. I keep getting calls for a Brandon Skull something or other. I'm not sure what the last name is. But I every day now, I keep getting calls for this student named Brandon. And I'd like to believe that some random kid just put down a telephone number for his parents and the school is none the wiser, and that all year long I'm going to keep getting absentee phone calls about this kid, and I'm not going to call and rat him out or anything. I'd like to believe that this isn't a mistake, but it's a clever plan on this kid's part. If so, thumbs up, Brandon.
You're not going to call and tell them?
No, it's none of my business. I stay out of things.
I feel like you should call and tell them.
Why?
Yeah, well, one, you don't want all these calls, and two,
but now when the phone rings, I know who it is. I look at the number. I'm like, Brandon was gone again today. All right. Good work, Brandon.
I think the school needs to know this.
Yeah, I feel like you should call them.
You know what? I feel like you guys should mind your own business. I'm not nosing around. What if Brandon's got something cool going on, and now I'm going to be the one to rat him out? I'm not doing that.
You gave him however long you've given him. You know.
Yeah, it's been, I want to say, the kids have been in school now for like a week and a half. I think every day but one, I've gotten a phone call about Brandon.
You should have your kids do some recon on him.
Find out who this kid is?
Yeah.
And how did he? Because it's a
Is it the same school that your kids go to?
Yeah, same school, Mountain View High School.
All right.
Well, why would it be a different school?
I don't know. Just a random number was given. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh. Yeah, like if he. Yeah,
he just gave number, a random
are you sure
phone
he goes
number.
To your kid's school?
No, but it's from the Mountain View attendance office, so why would. Oh. I mean,
well, then okay, you are
there
sure.
You go.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I am sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how they got my number, or if it was like my number got confused with someone else's, if he wrote it down differently, but I keep getting calls for this kid.
Wait, there's his dad texting in. What the hell?
Now your kids can take advantage and skip, and you'll just think it's Brandon, and he won't answer.
See, I changed the game. I don't know if this is a bad thing or not.
It's going to be.
It probably is.
I'm going to go ahead and report right now. I don't even know what you're going to say.
Yeah. Look, most of my parenting can be considered questionable at best. I'm fully on board with that. A helicopter parent, I am not. But I've told my kid this. I'm like, look, if you need, like, if the day just isn't going your way, right, and you need some time, just let me know. Just call me and be like, Dad, I'm coming home. I'll be like, all right, give me a reason why. And they were blown away by that. But this is my theory behind it. Haven't we all had a day at work where you're like, you know what? This isn't going my way today, right? Something's bad. There's nothing going on important at work. I'm ducking out early. Why can't my kid do that in high school? If they've got two meaningless classes still to come, and they're grinding and the day is sucked and they've had a bad test or maybe they're having a bad day for whatever reason, just let me know.
You're being far too reasonable.
You can't do it all the time, but I told my daughter this.
Kids must stay under our thumb.
Yeah, why? Why is that? She was like blown away by this, and then she told her friends, and her friends like apparently went home and told their parents, and then of course that came back on me. It's like I'm setting a horrible example. Am I? Or am I setting a good example? And it's the other parents that need to kind of warm up to this. Now, granted, there has to be limits to it. But, like, if my kid needs to come home for, or I said, look, you know, if it's the middle of the day, you need to come home because we live right by the school. Sure, come home, recharge the batteries a little bit, go back. As long as you're getting good grades, you're doing your work, you're not getting in trouble, I don't care if you're there every second of the day.
You know that Oregon, I don't know if they have this up in your state, but in Oregon, they will now allow students to take mental health days.
Oh, see?
That never used to be a thing.
There you go.
But it is now, at least in Oregon. Like I said, I don't know about Washington. No, it's just like sick days, only they're expanding the reasons for the excused absence.
Yeah.
Is basically what they're doing.
Yeah, this guy
which
saying,
I thought was a good idea.
This guy's saying, you idiot, your kid changed their name associated with their number. My kids don't need to change their... my kids will tell me, they're like, yeah, I'm not not going today. Like, hey, can I stay home today? And as long as you give me a valid reason behind it, I'm cool with it. It's just, it's you got to take the stigma out of this whole... Like, we treat our kids so much differently than we would want ourselves to be treated or how we would, I don't know, treat another adult. You take vacation days. You take days where you're like, you know what, I got something. This all kind of started for me. Like, look, we went through some bad times there the last handful of years in my family. And those kids have been through a lot. And I told them when they first started going back to school, I was like, look, if you need some time or if this, you know, you show up and you're not quite ready, hey, just let me know. We'll pull you out of there. Get you some work. You can do it at home.
Well, your approach seems to be better than the one Brandon's parents are taking.
Yes. And now Brandon is screwing his parents over and he's gone all the time.
Wait, are you Brandon's parent all of a sudden?
Oh,
does
by the way.
Does this now pass the buck to you? You're Brandon's dad?
Brandon just texted in. He said, shut up.
No, I did. Now, to be fair, I did not say his last name. I just kind of glossed that one over. But I don't really remember what his last name is anyways. I just know that it's Brandon.
Yeah. Parenting's changing, man.
Well, it should.
It's a different time.
I don't know. I just feel like now, like I listen to the way my kids talk about like kind of the grit, because my kids love to drop this one on me. You would never exist. You would never make it through school today. And I'm like, yeah, I think I could. All right.
They're saying that to you?
Yeah, they're saying it to me.
Why do they say that?
Because they claim that there's so many more rules and regulations. And,
oh, God.
And I'm like, oh, stop.
You idiots.
Yeah, let's not act like high school is some sort of, like, death march to get through.
It's the easiest thing ever.
Yeah, stop.
And by the way, you know how everyone knows that? Go to college. Because it'll knock you on your ass.
Like, when we went to school, there...
In more ways than one.
The attendance policy was pretty laxed, and you could have a lot of absences and... You know, you could
high school is the easiest thing ever.
You could get in fights, and now they, you know, they kick kids out for a lot of different reasons. So my kids love to bring it up about just how strict it is nowadays, and I roll my eyes at it.
See, I love kids. I really do. I think this next generation is so smart, and they're so much better than the previous one. And I love talking to Meat and his friends, and I find them great. But when you're a kid. You just have no perspective like that. Your kids have no perspective on that whatsoever.
No.
So there's no way like there's that's dumb.
Yeah.
But they don't know. They're just kids.
No, and my kids have this like and I'm trying to. And again, maybe not the best parenting in the world. We'll find out. My kids have had this weird like fear of the school as if the school has some sort of great authoritarian rule over them. Like, I'd be like, you don't have to do that. And my daughter will be like, no, I have to. The school says it. I'm like, I don't care what the school says. I'm telling you, you don't. Well, I'll get in trouble. Yes, what are you going to do when you get in trouble? They're going to call me. And guess what I'm going to say? You're not in trouble. Like, they have this weird theory that the school holds this sort of evil power over them.
It's how they keep order.
And I've tried to tell them that they do not.
See, here's the... But, okay, I get what you're saying, but the thing about the school is the school has to have these rules because they have to govern hundreds of kids.
Yeah.
You only have to govern one.
Well,
two.
Technically
but you know what,
three.
You know
yeah,
what I mean.
Yeah,
like,
I
so
mean.
It's a little different to say that the school... versus you. Like, I mean, you get what they're doing. They're
yes.
trying to keep everybody in line.
Yes.
They're the Raiders, and they've got Antonio Brown running around everywhere. There's got to be rules. There's got to be restrictions. There's got to be guidelines. There's got to be order.
Knock on wood if you're with me.
Knock on wood if you're with me. And so,
I
get it. It's just that, so schools can't be quite
sure.
as nimble as you.
Yeah.
They just can't.
Yes.
Because the second that starts happening,
yeah.
I mean, you got... It's pandemonium. You got Brandon walking around everywhere.
I just remember, like, we went on a trip a couple years ago, and it was like a two-weeker, and so I had to pull him out early from spring break. And one of the teachers said that she couldn't leave. And I was like, what? Like, she said, I can't go. I'm like, oh, you can go. And they're like, it's not excused. And I said, I think you're about to come down with an illness. And she's like, my daughter was like, what? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you're sick. She's like, you're just going to say that? I'm like, yes. Yes, I am. That's like, it's this. Oh, I just don't like my kids feeling like the thumb is on top of them. I don't want them to feel like my thumb is on them. I don't want to feel like the school's thumb is on them. So I'm trying to get them to, while respecting
authority.
Yes. And realize that you have to play the game and there's certain things you have to follow. You know, you got to be able to get grades. You got to get graduate. You know, got to graduate, move on and do that. At the same time, you know, it's okay that we have our own little standards.
Somebody text, remember the it will go on your permanent record threat?
Yes.
Remember that?
It'll go on your...
What are these records?
Where
I've never seen
this?
These records ever.
Where is this file?
By the way, there are no file cabinets in the principal's office.
Oh.
There are no records.
Stop that.
He's back there drinking again.
It's just a lot of...
Stooping the secretary.
Like, empty threats.
There really are.
And it's just...
It's how they keep order.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous.
You like to drink? I like to drink.
But again, you have to... You know, I tell the kids, like, you know, don't get in real trouble. You have to get good grades. Like, my daughter's a straight A student. You know, for heaven's sakes, she needs to be gone for a period or two. Oh, well, I think we'll survive.
By the way, somebody texted in and said, you roll your eyes at how hard they think school is, but yet they need stress days off. Yeah, but that's not because of the work.
No.
It's because of the social aspect.
Yes.
It's awkward years, man.
Well, it's tough sometimes.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, you may be having female issues or, you know, the girl that you like tells you that you're a piece of crap and you're going through something.
Well, kids are brutal to one another.
Yes. It's
so
awful.
That's what that's about.
There was a great thing going around social media, and I hope everyone, you know, shared it. Normally, I think stuff like this is stupid, but I saw a bunch of people that put it on Instagram and we're tweeting it out, and it basically just summarized. It was like, look, as you're getting ready to go back to school, if you're walking through the hallway and you see a kid that, you know, is being picked on, is being bullied, is sitting by themselves at lunch, you know, is crying in a hallway, or, you know, looks pissed off or whatever, go over and say hi. You know, so many of these problems that we have can be solved if we just had some kids that would reach out and be halfway decent human beings. Now, we get all these kids now that are isolated and feel they have nowhere to turn, and they're stressed out beyond belief, and they think, whether it's true or not, that life is awful and there's all this crap crashing down on them. And you get someone that's making fun of you for what you wear, or they're picking on you because you're fat or you're not in sports or you're in band or whatever. And God, how many of these kids could be saved if someone just reached out and was a halfway decent human being once in a while? I just thought that was a nice little sentiment out there as kids get ready to go back to school. Be careful when you're dealing with someone, because you never know what someone's going through at home or what they're dealing with in their life.
As you get to be an adult, you get that perspective.
Yes.
Kids are idiots and a-holes.
And can be awful to one another. Horrible creatures.
Catch me outside. How about that?
How about that? Yeah. Come on, kids.
I don't even know how we got on all that.
I don't know either.
Somehow we did. Oh, Brandon. So... Yeah. Don't worry, Brandon. Your secret's safe with me and our audience. Wink, wink.
I still think Brandon's... I think you need to call the school. That's what I would do. Actually, I would ask my wife to do it. I don't deal with the schools. Never did. I'm out. I'm on the periphery.
I have to now, and I'd like to believe that the schools don't want to deal with me. I think at this point, my cavalier attitude has been well established.
There's definitely a marriage pool in that principal's office for you. They're like, when the hell is that guy going to get married? They're taking bets. Like, please find a woman.
Got to deal with this guy again?
This guy's an ass. No wonder he's single. All right. Next segment. Have you seen what's happening in the airline industry? Flight attendants are complaining of this. And wonder if any of you have seen this firsthand in the skies.
I need to know what's happening in our friendly skies.
That's next. Here's Mike. All right. I've got a story of what flight attendants are complaining about most nowadays, which I'll get to. Somebody texts, Better You Today, text line 55305. You know, adults can be horrible too. Don't get it twisted.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, of course. But I think what you're saying, if I may, is that while you have plenty of adult asshats, they're being asshats because they are asshats.
Yes.
Kids are being asshats because they are kids. and they don't know how to quite handle the social situations or recognize the social cues or just have that social couth that you learn over time. Now, some of those asshat kids will end up being asshat adults. It's just the way it is. We try to minimize those types of people in our lives. That's all you can do because you want that asshat to realize they're an asshat, but they never do because, well, they're an asshat.
Exactly.
So kids are different. Kids are just, it's just a weird time. There's a lot going on with your bod. There's a lot going on in your brain.
People,
you're developing.
People seek out what's different. People seek out what's weak, and there's a herd mentality.
That's right.
And they can get piled on, and you know, your brain isn't fully developed at that point, and you make harsh decisions. And
look, so that's why you got to give kids a second chance a lot of times. You know, the bully, the this and that. They're not always going to end up being asshat adults.
No,
adults that are asshats.
I wonder how many of these kids that. You know,
they're just asking.
Whether you're talking about someone that shoots up a school, you're talking about someone that ends up hurting themselves or you know, whatever. How many of those things could have been prevented if one or two people just reached out and said, hey, man, like, go sit down with someone at lunch or, you know, talk to someone in the hallway. Just a mild dose of compassion every now and then. I think would go a long way. I'm not going to say it's going to solve all the problems, but I think it's going to shave off some of the sharp edges from time to time.
All right, so here's what's going on. I wonder if you've seen this, if you have flown any time over the last handful of years. Maybe the last, I don't know, 10 years, 15 years, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I've been on a plane from, you know, I think in that time frame, yes.
Well, I know. I'm saying, have you noticed this? Now, because this didn't used to be a thing, but now it is, and flight attendants are complaining about it regularly. And that is the Ambien zombie.
Huh.
Where people are telling, so you maybe haven't seen this, where people are basically walking around all hopped up on Ambien and they don't really know what they're doing. Like when you hear the story of the guy peeing in the aisle.
Yeah.
Or, like that's an extreme example. But there's a lot of this going on where people are freaking out of their mind because they drug themselves on these flights.
The Tiger Woods thing, right? Yeah, I don't think I've ever noticed this.
Like, there are a lot of people saying that people are sleepwalking. Like, flight attendants are like, this is a real problem.
Huh.
Because they will sleepwalk and they don't know that they're doing it.
No, this is new to me. Although I would imagine that's kind of, that'd be a little freaky. You're trying to, you know, you're trying to get some passenger to settle down and he's all zombied out. I've never seen this with Ambien, but I've heard horror stories, or in some cases I've heard people say that it's like a great thing that people do this on purpose, right? They take Ambien and then force themselves to stay up and then they get all loopy and all that.
Yeah. No. Flight attendants all across the country are complaining that it's a real problem. They call it the attack of the Ambien zombies.
What do you do when you're dealing with
I don't know. That's the thing. They can't. It's just that's a tough one.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how you handle that.
Because they want the, well, you know, they serve them drinks is what happens. No, I'm saying, like, they're on Ambien, and then they mix it with the booze, and it's just bad. It's bad.
Yeah, that's all kinds of bad. Bro. You know what? I can tell you this. I don't know if I've ever been, I'm trying to think back. I don't think I've ever been on an airplane where it's gotten rowdy. Have you?
No.
No, I don't fly.
Not really.
I don't fly a ton. It's like, I mean, I've got friends of mine that are like for business that fly all the time. I'm on a handful of flights a year, so I'm probably not the one that would be most likely to do this. But I've never been on an airplane where I've seen someone get arrested or gets into it with a flight attendant or freaks out. I've never seen anything like that.
I experienced it once this past year,
ooh.
And it wasn't. To an extreme level, but it was some woman got really, really frustrated because someone was sleeping behind them but kept kicking the back of their chair because they were moving around or something. And she tried to remain calm, and it was like an hour and a half into the flight, and she was like trying to get the attention of the lady behind her, and the flight attendant was trying to get her to calm down, and she just exploded for like 15 seconds and was just like, she won't stop bleeping, kicking my chair, da 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 da. And everyone on the plane was like, what is happening? And then she calmed down and it ended. Yeah. But that was the only, and I fly a lot. That was the only time I've really ever seen that.
Isn't a dust up on a plane like way cooler than a dust up anywhere else?
100%.
Like if you see
There's
something
heightened,
in,
like, oh.
Yeah, it's like, well, yeah, if you see something in a restaurant, I'm usually like, oh, idiots, get out. Look, I'm going to go about my day. But you're captive on the airline. Yeah. So you're just sitting there like, I kind of want something to go down because I need some entertainment. I'm bored. I'm sitting over here twiddling my thumbs. Somebody get mad at somebody
else. Let's do this.
Somebody take a pee on somebody.
Because I've had that happen. Whoa. I've had that happen in restaurants a couple of times where I've had to intervene in conflicts in restaurants. But I eat at restaurants a lot more than I'm on airplanes. I saw once I was on the back of an airplane, unfortunately, and you're right by the can, you know. And there was a gal, and I think this 100% had to do with the skin color of these unfortunate people. They were Middle Eastern and had an accent. And the lady kept going to the bathroom, and we were right. Like a, what do you call it? Like I don't know why I can't think of it.
Diagonal from. What are you talking about?
I was trying to think of like I was right by the like that the last row there where you can't recline or anything, right? It's the last row.
Yeah.
And then the people
you're
were
up against it.
Yeah. Then the people were kitty corner to me. That's what I couldn't think of. Kitty corner. Kitty corner. One up and over from me.
Okay.
Right? I don't know why I couldn't think of that term, but it was jamming me up. And this poor lady.
Perpendicular?
Perpendicular, maybe. No. The poor lady had come to the bathroom probably 6 or 7 times. I mean, it was a lot. And then on one or two of those occasions, her husband also came back to the bathroom with them. And they were kind of whispering to each other a little bit. And they were speaking a different language, and they were not sure where they were from, but they had darker skin. And the people in front and to the side, the kitty corner to me, were convinced that they were terrorists. 100% convinced.
Yeah, gee, I wonder why.
And the wife was trying to convince the husband to tell the flight attendant. And she's like, well, if you don't, I'm saying something. It's like, this is ridiculous. And they went to the bathroom one more time, and the people eventually stood up and went back to the flight attendant. The lady was pregnant and was sick and kept going back to throw up. Her stomach was upset, and the husband was coming back to see if he could do anything. The poor lady was sick to her stomach and kept going back to the toilet to vomit.
Of course. And I mean, you really think there was any chance they were terrorists?
No, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And as I heard them complaining, I was debating whether to tell those people to shut the hell up. That's the closest thing I've come to any sort of kerfuffle on an airplane. And the flight attendant was awesome. Like, she not only told the lady to sit down and shut up, but immediately had the... excuse me, ma'am. Yeah, that lady happens to be pregnant and she's sick to her stomach and can't keep anything down. So you need to not worry and sit down. And I was like, yes.
In your face.
Yeah, I went back and like fist bumped the flight attendant. I was like, yeah, good for you.
So Ambien is a sedative. They call it sedative hypnotic.
Yeah.
And basically one doctor says one of the normal side effects of Ambien is that it basically turns your brain into Teflon. You don't lay down any new memories. So people will do things on a plane and they will not remember them. So the flight attendants are saying, look, we do need, it's fine if they're sleeping and everything's kosher in the cabin, but we do need them to follow rules when, you know, at the beginning and at the end, and hopefully during the middle, like using the toilet instead of the aisle. You know, and so they're saying this is a huge issue. People don't know what they're doing. They're out of their minds.
Crazy. No, that's...
And we talked about the one recently where the woman woke up on an abandoned airplane that was sitting on the tarmac or something.
Yeah.
Or was just parked and they just left her there. Ambien, dude.
That makes sense. I never thought about that. How about this? Don't take Ambien when you get on an airplane.
Well, that's what they're saying. They're warning people.
Yeah. Just say no.
All right. John wraps it up next on The Fan.
6 and weight 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. Everybody knew you didn't give me.
This is Mailing It In with Big John Sakanek on 1080 The Fan.
All right, just a few minutes left. Ducks Insider coming up next. And here's John. Hello. Oh, wait. Sorry. Stop. Wait.
Hello? What?
Wait.
Hello?
What's happening?
I heard the song.
Wait.
I heard my song. It's my turn.
It is your turn, but I misspoke. Ducks Coaches Show coming up next.
Well, who wants to listen to that?
People that like the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah, and then who wants to listen to this?
There should be many of them.
You know what's on after that? Who wants to listen to this crap? Hot Corner with Lynch and John Sakanek?
Yeah, I got to drive all the way out there to talk to Lynch for 2 hours about baseball. What's going on?
I don't know. You tell me. I didn't know that was happening.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're more in the know than we are.
Yeah, apparently they're at the bottom of the B list, so I'm coming back out to do the hot corner with great Mike Lynch.
Great.
You love it. It's like your chance to talk baseball, which is what you want to do anyways.
I enjoy talking about baseball, that is for sure. There's no doubt about that. But I'll tell you a quick plane story. I've never seen a ruckus, but I was on a plane once. In fact, I was going down to Utah to watch my brother play down at BYU, and it was right after 9/11, so everything was super fresh. And I sat in the back of the plane, and I was just sitting there. And I wouldn't classify it as a ruckus, but somebody in the front of the plane was arguing with the stewardess. And, I mean, this is right after 9/11. And there was this old lady sitting in the row right in front of me, and she kept turning around to look at me. And I'm like, hi. And she kept turning around like 3 or 4 times. And eventually I'm like, you know, man, can I help you? And she's like, I'm waiting for you to go do something.
Oh, the big
and
guy.
I'm like, she thought I was the air marshal.
Oh.
She goes, I've been looking at everybody on this plane, and I think you're the air marshal, so get up there and do something. I'm like,
you do look like an air marshal.
I'm like, I'm not the air marshal. And she's like, I'll have your badge number if you don't go. I'm like, you can have whatever badge number you want. I'm just a schmuck going to Utah to watch my brother play. So
that's fantastic.
They thought I was the air marshal.
Yeah, do something, John, for heaven's sakes.
I just thought because you were really big.
Yeah, I would have gone up there and rough talked them. Yeah.
Hey, big guy, go up there and be big.
Yeah.
Do what big guys do.
Right?
Save me.
Yeah.
All right, have a good night. Hey.
All right, see you guys.
Yeah, we'll listen to you later.
Yeah,
John's going to be coming back on 8 to 10. How about that? Isn't that exciting?
I'm certainly fired up by it.
All right, the Ducks coaches show is next. So I think that means Mario Cristobal.
Either that or other coaches.
Yeah.
I mean,
one of them.
I'm assuming Cristobal, but you know, it's the Ducks coaches show. So,
Folks, we're back tomorrow, 3 to 7, on the Fan. Good night.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.